maiden voyage of the Wrong Side of the Pond podcast, and I've already almost said that wrong. I want to say Wrong Side of the Podcast.
That's almost that.
That doesn't make sense.
That's true.
How can you be on the wrong side of a podcast?
As long as everyone can hear us, I think you're on the right side.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, welcome in. I'm Jeremy Lance. I'm just a radio reporter here in town. Joining me, the founder and editor and writer, and you probably do the photography as well, of the Wrong Side of the Pond blog, DJ Schweitzer. What's up?
What's going on, Jeremy? Thanks for having me in.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too. This is really going to happen right now.
Started out as a few tweets to each other, then we ran into each other.
At the Wigan game in Piqua, Ohio.
Still trying to figure out what that was. I was at.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how Piqua ended up on Wigan's world tour.
I'm gonna say there's probably a talk afterwards, like, hey, let's not reschedule that.
Yeah.
We were showering in a high school.
Yes.
High school fieldhouse.
My favorite comment throughout the entire course of the day was seeing the Wigan chairman tweeting out, "This is the longest grass I've ever seen." That was the...
The best part about that is he was tweeting out sitting next to me. I was like, oh, this is just some guy part of the media staff. And then I started talking to him. He goes, oh, no, I'm the CEO.
So...
What?
Yeah. Well, that's how we got started. That's how we ended up here.
That's how we met each other.
Yeah.
At the most bizarre soccer event either of us have ever been to.
Yeah, most likely. I don't think it's been anywhere.
See, I've been to, like, covering high school sports. Like, these high schoolers will play in, like, you know, Paul Brown Stadium or something bigger here in Cincinnati. Never the other way around, where the pros
are playing in the high school stadium.
Are playing at the high school stadium.
Yeah. So long term, for anyone who's been around the mid-Ohio region or the Miami Valley, the Columbus Crew used to play at Centerville High School every preseason. They bring in an MLS game way back in the day. When I was like a grommet running around being like, Mom, I have to go to the Crew game.
What was the what would the attendance be for that?
They'd get like crazy numbers. There'd be like 3,000 to 4,000 people there that would pack into their high school soccer stadium. So,
that's about how many would you say were there?
I would say there were probably about 2,000 people in Pickford that night. So
I think they reported 5,000. I kind of was like, it was a bit generous.
That was
there.
A tall number, that's, I think.
A little more.
Yeah.
So that's how we first met, and then we kind of just kept talking, like, hey, maybe we should do a podcast, because I work in radio, and you know a lot about soccer, and you write, and I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, I feign to know a lot about both those things, so.
So far, I mean, you've already beat me in both of those.
Yeah, well, much appreciated.
Like, I've tried to start a blog before, and I've had to, like, contact WordPress to say, you've deleted this, right? Like, no one will be able to see this now.
Yeah.
Because I don't want it. That was bad. It was a bad attempt.
Well, please don't ever delve back. If for anyone's here, if anyone is stumbling upon this for the first time and you've never read my blog, please don't go any further back than maybe 2 or 3 years.
You might want to go purge the archives.
Yeah, I might have to. I had this real strong aversion to capitalization. I really wanted to do it my own way, and then I realized I was an idiot. So just don't go too far back.
I think we all hit that in our career. We go, we're going to do it our own way. We're going to be different than that guy. And then we go, oh, wait, that's why that guy's still doing what he's doing, because he figured out how to just play the game.
Yeah, well, eventually.
So that's who we are. Again, I'm a radio reporter here in Cincinnati. I cover Major League Baseball, NFL, high school sports, which is always fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
But my main passion is soccer. So this is why I've been really wanted to do this and really wanted to start this up. I am a Chelsea supporter.
Oof.
Which...
corporate.
Yeah, well... Here's the thing. When I first got into Chelsea, like, it wasn't like, oh, hey, a billionaire owns this team. This is going to be great.
Yeah.
I thought, hey, all my friends just got around. We just got the first FIFA game that we all bought. I think it was 02 or 03.
Right.
We all started picking teams, like who we were going to be. And I missed the first day. So when I came back, the Uniteds, Liverpool, the Arsenal, even for some reason the Newcastle, snatched up.
Yeah.
So I was left with Chelsea as kind of the best option out of all those.
Yeah.
And that's when they, like, Crespo was pretty much the offense on that
team.
Yeah,
I was going to think Zola was probably still around then, too.
Yeah, that might have been the twilight of some Zola.
Yeah.
So it was right before the purchase by Abramovich, right before Mourinho was brought in. So I do credit myself that I got
all
in.
Right.
I got in a little
so
bit
you're like
on the ground.
You're like a Chelsea hipster a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was cooler. Yeah.
Yeah, back in the day. I get that. I feel the same way. So I'm a Spurs supporter. So
which is like another – that is a team that has really turned into like the trendy pick.
Yeah, and that's exactly why I thought that was a good transition there, because we really have become the hipster pick here in the U.S. And I'm fine with it to an extent, but that Dempsey signing, that was what really brought everyone on board, and everyone kind of got all, hooray, I'm a Tottenham fan, which is cool. Which
you like the – they're like the Chicago Cubs of the EPL. Yeah. Like the Cubs are like just – people just go, oh, yeah, I'm a Cubs fan. It's like – are you really though? Like,
yeah.
Even like, have you even been to?
Yeah.
Have you even watched the games? Could you even name any? There's a lot of there's a lot of phonies out there.
There are a lot of phonies, but I'm also kind of a hipster in that respect. I've been around for a long time as a Spurs fan. So I originally fell in love with Tottenham way back in 1994. Yeah, way back. I was a young child fascinated with soccer. I grew up here just north of Cincinnati, and you know, watching games back in the day when we were kids wasn't really a possibility aside from the World Cup.
I was going to say, that's pre even Fox World.
Yeah, absolutely. So
did that PBS 1 hour thing still used to be on?
I don't know if that was still on then. I feel like that was way back.
That was like
way
80s?
Back. That might have been 80s, okay. But that's me failing my memory.
Yeah, it predated me, so I kind of had to guess where that went.
Yeah. But long story short, I went to the 94 World Cup.
Did you?
Went to a couple different games. It was like a seminal moment in my life where everything seemed to make sense for
right.
us. But that said, I loved Jurgen Klinsmann during the 94 World Cup, and he signed for Spurs immediately afterward. And I got to watch, my friend had a satellite dish, and we got to watch the first Premier League game of the season. And that's when Klinsmann came in, scored his goal, and did the dive where everyone was talking about.
Right.
He even talked about as a huge diver when he moved to Spurs, and he was a bit of a diver. But that said, he came in, scored that magnificent goal, and then all of a sudden I was a Spurs fan, and that's where I've been stuck to.
See, so. That's so funny that you mentioned that one of the first moments for you was the 94 World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
Is for me, it was I was a little kid living in Milwaukee.
Right.
And my dad business trip, as always. And he came back in town and he said, hey, I just went to this thing called the World Cup.
Oh, that jerk.
I was out in San Francisco and I went to the World Cup at I think it was at Stanford's stadium there.
Yeah.
And so he brought me back. And I was, what World? I have no idea.
Yeah.
I was like eight. So he brought me this little plastic soccer ball with all of the, and all the tiles there. It had the flags of all the different countries.
Yep.
And you clicked it and it played like almost this little like ringtone version of the national anthem for like
nice.
10 seconds.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the coolest thing ever. And that was like my first, that was it. That was how I first got introduced to soccer. The following fall or spring, I think I finally started playing a little bit.
You don't hear about many guys that get into it through a national anthem playing soccer ball.
But when I heard that Argentinian anthem coming in nice, little polytone there through that plastic ball. I said, I'm in.
Nice.
I am all in.
Nice.
So yeah, that was it for me too. And then as I said, you know, kind of picked Chelsea out of the sorting hat there.
Yeah.
In my teens and yeah, been a fan ever since.
Well, good. Well, at least we'll have something to argue about.
We will have a lot to argue about, I feel like.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that's probably a good way to jump into the next topic. We wanted to talk a little bit about the upcoming Premier League season.
We're like, what, 7 days out now?
Yeah.
We're recording this on Sunday.
Yep.
Community Shield just happened. I slept through part of it.
You didn't miss much.
No.
No. It was a predictable blowout. Wigan, we were just talking about them in the intro. They definitely were the undermatched squad in the game.
Yeah, they appeared that way, yeah. I think I saw at one point it was, what, 76 to 24 possession?
Yeah.
That's a good number.
It was definitely up there. But that said, it wasn't really that great of a game. You know, the expected result happened.
Owen Coyle wore a suit. I was thrown off by that.
But just in the first half.
Oh, did he switch?
He switched.
See,
so
I tapped out.
I tweeted out about, you know, midway through the second
wardrobe
half. I was
change.
Like, oh, I'm pretty sure I saw Coyle in a tie.
Change.
Yeah, he went for a wardrobe change.
He was shirt and tie when he walked out. I remember seeing that and going,
he looked uncomfortable in it, didn't he?
Yeah, it looked like he was strangling him.
Yeah. But he definitely was in his traditional training attire.
The
right?
Sweats.
Yeah. With the socks pulled up, you know, all the way up to the knees. So he looked good, much better in the second
stirrups.
Half. Yeah. So, anyway.
So, but we're right here.
Yeah.
Season starts this weekend. NBC Sports Network takes over. We'll talk about that here in a little bit.
Yes, we will.
That is, I feel like that's going to be a bigger thing than people are
letting
are
on.
Realizing.
Yeah.
it's going to change things, I think, in a lot of ways. Good and bad. We'll get into that. But, yeah, the season is upon us. Everyone is already throwing out their predictions, so we figured...
Why not do our own?
Yeah, why not just be cliched and do the same thing?
All right.
So do you want to go top to bottom or bottom to top?
Let's start at the top. Everyone likes starting at the top.
Well, that means there's only...
Yeah, there's only somewhere to go but down. Yeah, nothing but broken hopes and dreams.
Love it.
Yeah. So let's go ahead. Let's start off with who you think is going to win the title.
Who I think is going to win the title.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. I am a Chelsea supporter. A lot of people are saying Chelsea's going to has a great shot because Mourinho's back. I disagree.
Why is
that? I think they'll probably finish about where they, kind of top three.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much what they're going to get.
Well, it's weird because I think they will win it. And I think Mourinho is.
Is this like a Freaky Friday?
I know. We're already getting into this now. So
I don't know. I don't think. First of all, they have to figure out what's going on with Stryker. I know that Rooney apparently has said that he feels confident that he's moving.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel that confident.
I wouldn't either.
And even if he does come, I'm not sure that's enough. Like I still think. I look at the team from the past 2 years, and I'm not seeing this drastic improvement where I'm going, well, might as well start the engraving now. We got this title.
Well, that's true. But I do think there are things to be said about what they have available to them. First off.
Yeah.
I mean, that midfield. How can we not talk about it?
It's an amazing midfield with some of the best young talent there is. I mean, you got the three amigos, as they were calling themselves there for a while, with Oscar and Mata. And this kind of a revolving door on the third person there with either...
Hazard. And,
yeah, Hazard. You know, or sometimes
Moses would break in, yeah. With those, the attacking trio that they have sitting behind the striker, I think that alone.
And you're
alone,
adding Shirl to that. Too.
Yeah, I'm talking about Shirl as well. Depending on who they get rid of, who's the other young Belgian kid, Kevin De Bruyne. I don't know if they're going to loan him out
or
not.
He's looked really decent in preseason. Mm-hmm. I've been impressed, but I was also impressed last year with him in preseason. That didn't help him too much.
Yeah, and I did watch him play in person up in Cleveland a couple weeks back when they played the U.S. team, and he was extremely impressive.
He is a little bit of a bigger guy, and Mourinho kind of likes the guys. He likes his guys thick.
Yeah. Yeah, he's definitely got some bulk to him, but he's still slight of foot, which I like about him.
Yeah.
That midfield obviously is really impressive. You have to think Michael Essien's coming back into the four.
Sure.
With him returning from his loan from Madrid.
Lampard's kind of on the victory lap here.
Yeah, Lampard's on the victory lap. I don't expect him to start very often, but he is going to be that type of guy that's going to come in and make those substitutions and be a good late-game boost for you. And not to mention squad rotation. But with that midfield, I think that gives you the flexibility to try new things up front. And people like Lukaku coming back, everyone's kind of wishy-washy.
Well, we talk about size, though. He definitely fits the mold of what Mourinho likes.
Yeah, boy, he's baby Drogba,
He is.
Yeah. Or so people say that he is.
Well, they do. Yeah.
But that said.
Remain to be seen.
But. Yeah, but don't forget, we still have Demba Ba. We still have Fernando Torres. So.
Well, and does one of them leave?
Yeah.
I went to the game in Indy.
Mm-hmm.
They played Inter. And afterwards, because I was covering it for some media outlets, and... it's a weird thing. I guess they kind of did the media thing, they just kind of did it the European way, I guess, because it's not the way I'm used to doing it here, where we were kind of in this penned-in area, like just farm animals kind of walking around, and this was just in one of the concourses under the stadium.
Right.
And then as the players would walk out going to the buses, we would have to try to flag them down. Now, with a lot of them, we're flagging them down at the same time with our other flagging down... a translator of the appropriate language.
Right.
So I see Torres come in, and I'm like waving him in, and then I'm screaming, hey, Spanish translator, let's go. And so he looks at me, and in English he goes, why do you want to interview me? I was like, just talk about the game. And he was in it for like 10 minutes.
You're Fernando Torres.
You're Fernando Torres.
Yeah. I'm going to want to talk to you.
You got the biggest ovation of everybody as they entered the field. Maybe not warranted, but you got it.
Yeah.
And then he was like, I didn't do anything. And then he just kind of hung his head and walked off. I was like, this guy so wants out of here.
He's broken.
He's so wants out. Yeah. He was a defeated man that night.
Yeah.
Which, to his credit, he made – and then we saw this a lot last season if you watch Chelsea play. all these runs were made.
Yeah.
And he's making these runs, and no one's feeding him.
Yeah.
No one's feeding him.
Well, and to Torres's credit, he does a great job of dragging away defenders.
Sure.
So sometimes those needless runs that some people think, ah,
right,
whatever.
But on the ones where afterwards you kind of see him just drop those shoulders.
Well, I
think
seriously? What he wants to see the ball, and he doesn't get it because his teammates don't feel that confidence
in
him. So.
And you have, as we just talked about, a midfield that can really do all the scoring you need in a lot of cases.
Yeah. So your
pick is Chelsea.
I do think Chelsea can do it.
I'm thinking like runner-up.
Yeah.
I think I'm sticking with United.
Yeah.
I think they're probably going to repeat. I don't think Moyes is going to struggle in Premier League. I think his managerial struggles will probably come in like rotations when it comes to like European competition.
I think that's fans really kind of making more noise than anything.
I think
everyone wants to see him fail because everyone's wanting United to fail.
Right.
You know?
I mean, even to a degree, I absolutely want United
to
fail.
Yeah.
I always
Who doesn't?
Do.
Yeah.
I don't want them to fail to the extent that I look like an idiot for predicting them to be champions.
Well, we'll see. We have a long time for
that's
that.
That's right. And it's now on record. So that's my I got United. You're going Chelsea.
Yeah, I'm thinking Chelsea. I feel like the rest of the field's too weak. All the other challengers seem to have holes.
I mean, we both agree on it? It's most likely going to be the same top three, just maybe in a different order.
Yeah, I don't really think there's any argument about that.
Okay.
I think United, Chelsea, and then those terrible citizens.
Cities.
Yeah.
They've reloaded.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a whole lot of change happening in any one club to go, oh, no, he's totally vaulted up to the top three now, and this guy's out.
And they have a new manager with Pellegrini coming in and all these new forwards. And shoot, Tevez left, and people really underrate how much Tevez did for that team. So.
I do. So, I mean, if I were to rank it, I'd probably go United, Chelsea, City.
Yeah. I don't even know. It just seems there are so many variables with that.
Of course, but that's predictions.
Yeah, I guess. All right. So if I have to pick something out, I'm going to go Chelsea at the top. I'm going to go City in second and United in a third. I'm going to see them slip. And the reason I say that is they looked really green today. And Van Persie looked good, great finishing as he always brings. But at the same time, if Van Persie doesn't score and Rooney goes, where are they going to get those regular goals from? And everyone's like, oh, they got Chicharito and Danny Welbeck, who had the worst conversion rate in the Premier League last year. All those kind of things make me a little concerned about that, not to mention all these new guys that are trying to actually bleed into the first team and a lot of the older guys starting to fade into the background.
I was listening a little bit to the Talk Sport broadcast on XM
because
I was driving around this morning. They were ripping Welbeck.
Yeah.
They were like, this guy, they were like, he should just leave now. He's never going to be he's never going to be in the starting 11 for this team. leave now.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's got talent. Whether he's got that goal-scoring talent that they need.
But they were saying, like, he'll never be because they'll always have the ability to just go buy the next best thing.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Whoever, you know, is the big name out there, they can just go grab him. So why do they need to sit here and try to grow Welbeck?
Yeah, well, I could start Danny Welbeck, or I could buy Robin Van Persie.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, Robert Lewandowski, someone like that next summer.
So, all right, so now we get to your favorite part.
Yeah.
Who's going to finish? And then that fourth spot.
Oh, geez.
Final Champions League spot.
This has been the bane of my existence for pretty much the last 4 to 5 years.
We did you last year in dramatic fashion.
Man, it's the life of a Spurs fan. So if I have to pick fourth.
Okay.
You
wrote it on our notes.
I did. That was my idea.
This is your fault.
Yeah, this was my fault. I put us here. But I think Spurs are going to be able to do it. And here's my big reason for it. I don't care if Bale leaves or goes, and that's false. I totally care if he leaves or goes.
Of course you do. Why would you?
But let's say I didn't care.
They do. They will have money to spend. I mean, some people I think are forgetting that they're going to get a large sum of money to spend if they do sell him.
Yeah, well, I don't think they'll spend any of it. But
you don't think they'll spend any of it?
Well, they'll spend some of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. So the reason for that, Spurs have made great additions, things that balance out the team, things that we really needed. We look at our main contention for fourth.
Arsenal.
Gooners. I hate them. Anyway, they haven't really done much. It's been a typical, you know, Wenger summer. They say they've got a war chest and they're going to go out and make some big signings. They go out and they make a nice young prospect signing. And
it's
the kid,
sweet. Yeah, all right.
The kid looks all right, but where are these big signings? They've been chasing after names all summer long. Yeah. You know, first it was Higuain. Now it's Suarez. Are they going to get any of these guys?
One of my buddies is a huge Gunners fan, and he's been emailing. We've been emailing each other. We did like a couple times a week, just kind of what we're seeing and rumors and everything.
Yeah.
He's just like in anguish. He's like, this has been the worst one because they've really come out beating the drum. Well, we're going to spend this year. We got all this money. Where are we going to splash the cash?
Right.
And then they're, you know, obviously linked to this guy and this guy. And nothing happens.
Yeah, typical Wenger summer.
It's it is.
So,
and my friend, he's kind of new into the whole EPL thing.
Yeah.
So he'll learn how painful I guess these summers are going to be.
Yep.
And continue to be.
So that's why I think it's going to happen. Now, if we can hang on to Bale, that's a whole other discussion. I feel like we should have Forest locked down.
Okay, but then are you talking possibly getting into that top three?
Yes.
Okay.
And I do think that's a possibility if they can hang on to Gareth Bale. But that remains to be seen. So
if you were to put some numbers on that, some odds on Bale staying or going right now.
Man, if you'd talked to me 3 weeks ago, I'd say nope, not even, no way he's going. He was on a gigantic billboard in Times Square. He's on the cover of FIFA.
Mm-hmm.
He's basically being pumped as the biggest name in the EPL right now.
He's the face of the league right now.
And he's wearing a Tottenham jersey with like that cockerel staring straight at me. And,
giant
and
HP
all
logo.
Yeah, giant HP logo. We're not getting paid by HP. But they, you know, he's on all those things. And I thought for sure that there's no way that Daniel Levy would say, I'm going to let my biggest bargaining chip, my biggest production chip go away. Then Madrid started talking, or at least the paper started talking, about ridiculous sums in excess of 100 million euros.
Phantom 100 Spanish million, reports.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we know the financial situation in Spain right now. So I'm skeptical of those things. But I do feel like he's had his head turned. And I think the fact that no one from Spurs, we're not seeing directly from the club, aside from Villas-Boas saying, hey, you know, it may or may not happen. We're not really talking about it, but he's not for sale. We're not hearing the club come out and say he's not for sale. So that's what without hearing from them, I'm worried. So
silence is.
Yeah.
It's a silent yes.
Yeah. It's a silent yes. I don't even know. I'm stressed out about it. We'll say that much.
All right. Let's move on to my favorite part.
Okay.
Who's going down?
Yeah. Let's hear from you first.
Crushed dreams, fans crying in the stands. All the beauty that is people getting relegated.
As long as it's not your club.
Absolutely.
Right.
Which I feel pretty confident that's not going to happen in my lifetime.
I've been in that position worrying about it. But anyway.
I'm actually one of my buddies, huge Newcastle fan. So
yeah.
A couple years ago, I really, really enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go... See, I was kind of debating a lot. First of all, I got to go Hull Tigers because that name change deserves nothing more than to be relegated.
For name change alone.
For name change alone. And all their kits have always been terrible.
That's true.
The orange and black, it's just not my thing.
Yeah.
It's rough.
That is rough. And I'm fine with it. Those were my college colors. But
ooh,
we were burnt orange, not that weird yellow orange. So it's fine.
So there you go.
Yeah.
So I'm going them.
Okay.
I'm going to go Crystal Palace. I mean, they finished fifth.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they won the playoff thing, but they finished fifth, so...
Well, then they lost Zaha, too.
Yeah.
And Zaha is who they rode into that fifth place position and then into the playoff championship, so...
And then I'm going to go a little bit outside, but not really too far outside the box, but just because of what it signifies it is, I say what will then be a 23-year run for Aston Villa comes to an end.
Ooh. So I had them as a maybe. But I agree with you. The Hull City Tigers, they're going down.
You got to leave.
Name
you
alone. Leave. Get out of here. Get out of here. I also think the other traitorous owners could potentially see their side go down, and that's Cardiff City.
Okay.
So I could maybe see them, you know, the Dragons, if you will, even though that's not really who they are.
Have they sorted out that two-tone pants situation there?
I think they got rid of the two-tone red pants.
I'd never seen a fan base
if you haven't
out
seen
more
that,
about pants.
Yeah, if you haven't seen that, listeners, do go out and check it out.
It's pretty rough.
Yeah. Like someone was colorblind picking out the colors.
Like, I'm not the most stylish guy in the world, but at least I know, like, you don't go like two colors that are really close, like two shades.
Okay, yeah. So Cardiff City maybe, but I think there's actually a trio of teams that may potentially
kind
go down
the
from the established.
There.
Yeah. So I really think Fulham. They were abject at the end of last season. Their form was terrible.
They were falling apart.
And they haven't really impressed me in the transfer market so far. So
and their offense became completely toothless at the end.
Yeah.
They couldn't do anything.
Well, it's all Banana Berba, you know, whether he's feeling up for it.
And if he's not hot,
So I also think Newcastle could get pulled back into the fray.
I was almost gonna put Newcastle on it.
Yeah.
I still do think. I think Partey's out. I think he gets sacked this year.
Yeah.
I think it happens.
I think it happens regardless of where they finish. But with Newcastle losing Johan Kabay, I feel like they're going to be in a position where, and that's if he goes, of course, but if he goes, if he goes, they were terrible last year when their midfield was beat down and he and Ben Arfa were both out injured. So I think they could slip back into it if he goes and they don't have time to replace him. So just a thought.
That's
it.
Yeah. See, and I literally Newcastle and Fulham were kind of these two teams. I was like, they'll figure it out somewhere.
Yeah.
Right.
And they normally do.
Over a season, they'll figure it out, but they almost didn't last year.
Yeah.
I mean, Newcastle almost didn't figure it out.
They were very, very close, and it was like by the skin of their teeth that they were resting in that final spot. So we'll see. Maybe they'll get pulled down in there. So,
do you have – I put this together real quick. Do you have like a wild card team, like kind of like a mid-table team you think could have a good season or once again have a good season? Like I think Swansea once again is going to be a fun side to watch.
Yep, absolutely.
And I think they're a year under Laudrup, so – I think that could be a decent squad. I mean, do they get picked apart at the transfer window? Who knows? But
yeah, I mean they've held on to the majority of the squad
they've had. They held on to Michu. So.
They held on to Michu. They held on to
De Guzman. I thought he was going to go.
Yeah, I did
too. I thought
Michu.
I was like, there's no way they're keeping this guy.
Yeah, but the Canadian Dutch kid De Guzman, he's still sticking around for this year as well. So I think they have a good opportunity to go up. I would have gone with them, but the person and the team that I really want to see do well this year. And this is being greedy because I'm being biased here. But I would want to see Sunderland pull themselves up by their bootstraps.
Because of Josie?
Yeah. Josie needs it.
I want to see him have a good year.
Yeah.
I mean, Sunderland can do whatever they want to do.
Yes.
Outside of that.
Yeah.
I would like to see Josie have a great year.
And I want that to happen for him.
Because
I feel
want
like
all the
that
critics,
would be a huge boost.
I want all those critics that said, he's going to fail just like he failed at Hull. He's going to, you know, Dutch league, you know, the league he was in is nothing like the league he's in now.
Which is
true, to
an extent. But at the
same
time, I don't think it's to be discounted. Like, how many goals did he have last year? What was it, 31 or something ridiculous? Whatever the number was.
Right.
It's impressive. You can't not turn your head at that and say that's a top-class striker. So I think Sunderland could be the team to do it. I think if DiCanio can get in a few more players, particularly a winger who could get something in onto Josie's head, good service is key for that guy to actually do his job well, then I think maybe Sunderland can do it. But, hey, I'll probably be wrong about it.
DiCanio needs to do what Mourinho and some of these other guys did. He needs to harness his own craziness.
Yes.
You need to have to make it work for you.
Yeah.
Make your insanity work for you.
What if we could, though, get that insanity to arrange a Mourinho-DiCanio eye-poking match? Would you pay to watch that? Because I think I would.
Because I think Mourinho's going to lose that. I don't know if I want to. That's a loss for Chelsea.
Yeah.
That goes down in the L column.
All right. I can see why you would want to avoid that. Okay.
All right. We talked about it a little bit ago.
Yep.
Big whole landscape change happening. And that is the whole U.S. TV rights deal that has changed. And the change starts technically now, I guess, but
yeah.
I mean, Saturday is when it goes into full effect of NBC Universal taking over the EPL from, from Fox, who sublet it out to
ESPN.
So
right.
The two players that used to have games, and I think the ESPN's a bigger deal in some ways because ESPN's in every house.
Absolutely.
You have just the most basic cable package, you have ESPN 1
right.
or ESPN 2. And you're going to be able to watch games.
That goes away.
Not everyone has NBC Sports Network. I don't have NBC Sports Network. I found some loopholes.
Right.
I'm going to get it done, but
right.
I don't have it.
I mean, it's absolutely way bigger of a deal than I think most people are giving it credit for. Most fans kind of get up every Saturday and Sunday morning during the Premier League season, and they hunt for the game that they're trying to watch, and they'll watch it. And
sure.
For them, it's more, you know, whatever I can do to access it,
right,
that's fine.
Okay, if it's not on TV, if it's not on at the bar down the street,
right,
then we go down the road of
all the illegal streams.
Same.
Yes, and we're not endorsing that, listeners. But that said, we've all been there.
You had to do it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And not every game is on. I mean, even if you have all the channels.
Yeah.
You don't have everything.
Yeah, exactly. You still had to fork out money for Fox Soccer to go and, you know, maybe have ESPN 3.
Fox Soccer 3. Plus is still being advertised as an as a product?
I don't know. I thought it was becoming...
I saw an ad today during the Community Shield.
Oh, that's right. I did see that. Now, I wonder if they're still going to push that Fox Soccer 2 as Fox Soccer... Excuse me, not Fox Soccer 2. Fox Sports 2.
Which is Fuel. Currently Fuel Network.
Yeah. So, wait. So, what are they doing with Fox Soccer Plus?
Fox Soccer...
Does it remain?
From what I understand, becomes FX2. More movies and hopefully... If we're all lucky, more of that awful Charlie Sheen television show.
Yes. Well, everyone's
like on
wanting
a loop.
That. Yes.
Just anger management on a loop.
If they're going to get rid of my Fox Soccer Plus, they may as well just do that.
Just go anger management loop.
So, no, I think it's a big deal. Whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. What do you think?
Trying to think. Like, my initial reactions when I saw this was like, wow, this is pretty big. Because you're talking about, and I believe I watched, you probably still find this online on NBC's site. They made their what's called their upfronts, which is like the big kind of unveil.
Oh, yeah.
For new shows, or, you know, fall programming, something like that. They made the soccer upfronts available online. It's like an hour long. It's kind of interesting if you're a media dork like I am.
Right.
I want to say they mentioned there's going to be, including starting Saturday, 20 games this season will be on the NBC network.
Yep, absolutely.
Which is way more than Fox ever did.
Yeah. I mean, we got, what, two or three a year over the last 2 years?
Like, well, a couple years ago, they did one kind of on Super Bowl Sunday. They had the...
Oh, yeah.
They had that Chelsea United...
The game before the game.
That's right.
Yeah.
So hopefully the advertising will be better from
the
NBC side.
One would hope.
And that's part of it, too. Like, NBC has really gone out of their way with the... I mean, they have done some heavy marketing.
Absolutely. I mean... Who hasn't seen, we may as well talk about it, the Jason Sudeikis skit where he goes in.
Have you seen that yet? I don't know.
I have. As a Spurs fan, I just want to remind all my friends. I know you know I'm a soccer fan.
And I'm going to send it to you three more times.
Yeah, please do. I know you know I'm a soccer fan, but that said, I've seen it.
Seen it.
Yeah, you don't need to put it on my wall again. But that said, you know, we weren't seeing that kind of stuff from Fox. We weren't seeing them pouring that kind of marketing effort and bringing in names to actually push it. And
like, how often were you watching whatever you're watching on actual Fox network, which I'm not sure what's on that people are watching? You're watching MasterChef. My wife watches that. I watch it with her. I've never, ever seen an ad for Fox Soccer or anything, or even like a game that they were going to be airing on the Fox network. They wouldn't even advertise those.
No, absolutely not. You would hear about soccer on the soccer properties,
right?
And crickets everywhere else.
Yeah, I mean, if you go on to any NBC Universal property right now, USA Network, CNBC, for some reason you're watching that.
Times Square
is kind of a big deal.
Yeah,
they are marketing the crap out of this league,
and that's a little bit of a concern to me.
How is that now? Okay, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You're concerned that they're over-marketing?
You heard me correct. Yeah, absolutely.
They're overdoing their sell.
So, I love the EPL. I'm a little bit of a Euro snob, I'll admit it. But I am really concerned about what all this EPL coverage will do to our own league and MLS's coverage. Because MLS, where's their home? Also NBC Sports. That's a little bit of a concern to me. And everyone knows that the Premier League is this cannibal. We want all soccer fans on the planet.
It's not their only home. It's their national home.
Yeah.
I mean, they still have a game on every week on ESPN, generally a game that ESPN can bury at 11:30 at night.
Yep, that's about the right time.
On a Sunday, which is generally when people like to stay up real late. Or, all the Fox Sports, Cincinnati, Fox Sports, Ohio.
Yep. So you have all your local coverage still, but
sure.
MLS is really lagging on that TV front. We all know that attendances are starting to go up in most of the cities. Columbus, let's do a little bit better. But that said, TV is still where we're having issue. And
TV is where money is made.
Exactly.
You go to any of the other leagues right now?
Yep.
Major League Baseball, whatever. I mean, the Dodgers were sold for $2 billion because Magic Johnson and his friends knew that there was a $5 billion TV deal with Time Warner on the table for them to create their own Dodger channel.
Yep.
The money is in television now.
Absolutely. And without that, MLS is going to struggle. And I worry a little bit that, you know, and the Premier League, let's not argue about this. It's a better product. it's not substantially better, but it's, you know, better wrapped, better players, everything's better.
It has the history too.
So you're going to have this kind of bias that develops, and I'm a little worried that it's going to cannibalize some of the actual viewership for MLS, and that's something that I think long term.
Cannibalize the viewership, or do you think it'll also cannibalize like NBC's focus?
Well, I think it'll do a bit of both.
Because NBC obviously is putting a lot of eggs in the EPL basket.
Yep, absolutely.
I mean, they spent a lot of money on it. They should.
Yeah, but they weren't paying that same type of attention to MLS. You know,
no.
One of the big things that everyone's excited about is we have Match of the Day for EPL now. You know, we've been looking for this. It's what they had over in England for years, and everyone raves about how awesome it is. And we have it now here, and that's awesome. But everyone was like, hey, wait a minute. What about MLS? Why don't we have a Match of the Day for MLS yet? That doesn't seem so ludicrous to ask for. And it wasn't until the fans started leaning on NBC that they were like, oh, yeah, we should probably do this.
I guess we'll throw something together for you guys.
So I fear that NBC will lose focus and eventually say, screw MLS. Let's go on and focus our efforts on the stuff where the money's being made.
Well, because I'm trying to think, like, when they first bought the rights to the MLS, they were all about bringing games onto the Saturday and Sunday programming of NBC.
Yeah.
Because for NBC, outside of a little bit of golf, a little bit of tennis, and Notre Dame football,
woo,
which, who doesn't like that, they don't really have a whole lot of weekend sports programming.
So no.
They got the NHL, but they only do that half the season of the NHL. They started in January, generally.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of time, especially in the summer when most of their properties aren't going, where they could definitely be putting more games on than the current zero or two that they've done this season.
Well, and I think that MLS and a lot of people are looking at this from the perspective of maybe we'll get a bump. Maybe there will be some EPL bump
that's
for our
ratings.
That's
got to be, I'm sure NBC's hoping that as well.
Well, and they need to be creative about it. Let's pair up the games. Let's do double headers where you have a big match followed by an MLS match.
Exactly, because they're going to be – the NBC games are always going to be a 12:30 start.
Right.
They're going to be that late game.
Mm-hmm.
That works easily. So that game ends. You do like a little show in between. I think that – because they're already going to have a post-game show.
Yep.
So you have that kind of leading into your MLS coverage right into a game that starts at, you know – 4 or 5.
So, I mean, one would hope that they do something like that, but will they?
It's hard to say.
We both did the same response.
It makes too much sense. And being in this industry and just being a consumer,
yep,
you know that that's just not going to happen then.
No.
They're going to go for the non-logical move.
Yeah. So maybe it will be a good thing. We'll see. But in the meantime, let's just enjoy all this television, huh?
We got a ton of it. I mean, We got the NBC thing, which, again, my initial reaction, I was pretty excited because this was a network, like a real network. Like Fox, putting a game on Fox is kind of big, but, I mean, NBC has been around since the dawn of TV in America.
Right.
So to have EPL on NBC, that's big.
It is big.
It's huge.
Yeah.
So I was really excited when I first heard about it. I got a little scared because I thought, dear God, don't put Bob Costas on the freaking broadcast to talk down to me about his knowledge of soccer that he just learned in 2 months.
But he says it so nice.
He says it polite. He's only 5'2", so he's not intimidating in that regard.
Yeah.
Bob Costas is awful. Bob Costas is the antithesis of what you want from a broadcaster. You want a guy to kind of bring you in, not go from up high, hey, this is what's happening, so I'm going to tell you down here, you should feel privileged that I'm talking to you.
So are you telling me that you need the excitement of Gus Johnson to get you
And there's the other end of the spectrum.
Right.
So you have Gus Johnson jumping out of the press box on, you know, a goal from the six, as he likes to throw out there all the time. And then you have Bob Costas being very snooty and pretending that he knows everything when we all know he learned about soccer.
That was a fantastic achievement out on the field. Back to you guys, you know?
So I had that worry, because if you do watch a lot of sports and you watch like the Olympics, Bob Costas is in full effect during the Olympics of telling you about a sport that he probably knows nothing about.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then he's just reading off a teleprompter.
Well, It seems like they're actually putting together a good broadcasting team.
White.
Yeah, Arlo White. Everyone likes Arlo White.
He's very likable.
Yeah, I have no problems with him.
No. I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of people like me that were like, please hire Ian Dark.
Yes. And everyone's used to listening to Ian Dark. And let's be honest, he sets the gold standard
for
us.
Ian Dark could read the freaking phone book, and I would just sit there all day
and
listen.
And I'd hear Macca just chirping around in the background, you know, I'm going to make a lively joke. And then he goes on for the rest of it. So I'm fine with all of that. But that's what we're used to, and I think people will be worried about that regardless of who we go to. So Arlo White, you know, you're bringing on Taylor Twellman. They're bringing over people like Gary Lineker for the actual Match of the Day commentary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, good, knowledgeable names. I'm really hoping we actually get to see
I mean, the rest of those other games are going to be the same, like House Speed, though.
Yeah.
As we've gotten the past.
You would assume so. You would assume so.
Yeah.
But who knows? Maybe NBC's got another card up their sleeve.
I think that's what they said. Like, yeah. Arlo, they're going to have their team and maybe a B team. But outside of that, it's like anything you pick up on like the live extra, which sounds like the way to go. Like, they're going to have every game on there.
Yeah. Just make sure you have a cable provider that matches up with
that. Barely accessible as long as you have a cable provider that matches up with it.
Yeah.
Which I don't.
Neither do I.
But somebody I know does.
Yep.
And they don't plan on using it.
Exactly.
Thank you, Mom and Dad.
I know.
I'll be hooking that up this weekend when I'm there.
I ordered a Google Chromecast just so I could put that onto my television.
Really?
Yes.
Not too shabby.
Yeah. So.
It's a good, I mean.
We've never been in this position before.
I've heard it said before, and I think it's got to be even more so now. There's more soccer on American television than there are in the UK.
Absolutely.
Because it's more accessible. Obviously, the rights fees are less because it's still a niche sport. So there's so much more of it. I mean, there's no Fox Soccer over there. There has never been a channel that's just running games on a loop.
Nope. They get, what, one or two free matches a week, and that's about it?
Yeah, and then you got to pay for like all the Sky packages and stuff like that.
Ugh. So we are spoiled, and we're getting to see this is a golden age for listening and watching to and talking about soccer in this country, and people will take that for granted.
One of obviously the big things that we've kind of alluded to that people are talking about, unless you're actually Fox Soccer, you've kind of danced around the subject for many months, is the fact that Fox Soccer dies this week.
It's gone. It is.
It's going to be gone.
I feel like I'm losing a friend. Like, I'm having a funeral for a friend.
The artist formerly known as Fox Sports World.
Oh, man.
Remember
that's going
that?
Way back. They're
known as Fox Sports World.
Absolutely.
Had rugby on it.
Yeah, all the time. And you'd have all sorts of weird leagues on there, too, sometimes. You know, you'd have the J-League segment that would come on. And
you still do have, like, Asian review show.
Yeah, that's true.
That does play, like, at 3 a.m.
It's one of my favorites. But it is. It's going away forever.
It's going away, and, like, I'm liking everything NBC's doing, but the idea of just, like, being able to go home and, like, you're doing something around the house and just be able to turn on, essentially, as I've said before, just a loop. It's just a loop of games.
Yep.
I've always liked that.
I have, too.
Like, just turn on, like, yeah, I've seen this game before. Like, yeah, yesterday I watched one of Chelsea's group stage, well, because they only had group stages last year in the Champions League.
Right.
One of their matches, I'd seen it before. I already knew it was going to happen. I could have rattled off when all the goals were going to take place.
But you watched it anyway.
Still delightful.
Yeah.
Absolutely delightful. Even went back, you know, with the DVR. Oh, let me say that again.
Yep. It is. It's sad to think that we're losing one, potentially two, soccer-only channels in this country. I mean,
sure.
It's to think that we had two channels that were our own and nothing else for, what, 3, 4, 5 years. That's unbelievable. And to lose the ability to, yeah, we didn't play the game live earlier, but then I could watch the replay of that game
that
later on in the afternoon. You know, that, to me, that goes away, and that's really sad to not have that to lean on anymore. And
I mean, we're going to have all those properties that stay with Fox, Champions League, Europa, FA Cup. That's just moving over to Fox Sports 1 and 2. Something tells me probably more 2 later down the road.
Most likely.
As they pick up more properties of
but Cristiano is making a number one with his hand in the commercial, so you know they're going to make it number one.
But so was Eli Manning at one point. So
that's a good point.
I think the biggest fear I have is actually the third domino, which is the question mark that now is ESPN soccer properties.
Right.
They still have World Cup qualifiers.
Right.
But that's, I mean, the World Cup's next year, so there's really not much qualification still left to play played.
Right.
They still have, I guess, I don't know what they have as far as the friendlies still go. Like, if they get any of those.
Yeah, I think they get some of them. But, again, I mean, that how much is that to really bet on?
That's not many games.
Yeah.
So we have that leading up to next summer. They have MLS Game of the Week at 11:30 on Sundays. That's only through next year as well.
Yep.
So next fall that ends. They're kind of running out of properties, because outside of that, they have like quasi.
Yeah, they have like what, Mexico games?
Yeah, they got a little Liga Mex, but like they're playing on like ESPN News.
Yeah, exactly.
At 5 on a Sunday.
Great times.
It's the best time to watch ESPN News. So they're clearly not invested in Liga Mex, and I don't blame them because it's not that great of a product.
No.
It's empty stadiums, train whistles, and pretty subpar soccer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just not that great.
No. I mean, you have a good player here and there, but it's nothing, again, to bet your entire broadcasting schedule.
No.
I mean,
So you have that, and then they have, what, ESPN3 rights to Bundesliga, but...
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. We weren't really sure.
Because Gold TV still exists, right? Like, I don't have it. I couldn't tell you last time I've actually seen it ever.
I'm told that it still exists, but I've not seen it with my own eyes.
And they still have the actual television rights in America to Bundesliga.
I think.
Last time we checked.
If they are actually still a station.
If you know of information on the whereabouts of Gold TV, let us know.
Yeah. WrongSideOfThePond@gmail.com.
We're clueless.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't have it. I have Dish Network, which I would imagine probably gets it if I want to spend X amount of dollars a month to have it, which I don't.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that can't be in very many households.
No, it's not. And on top of that, what's the other leagues that are on BN Sport?
BN Sport, which I do have.
I don't.
It's
Time Warner.
It's very public access-y, but at the end of the day, you are watching, you know, Barcelona.
Right.
Or Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Or I watched Monaco's first game yesterday.
Ah.
That was uneventful.
Yeah. Well, they're still putting that team together.
Still trying to figure out, getting the kinks worked out, getting that chemistry going there.
Yeah, absolutely.
They look terrible.
So...
That's kind of what, I mean, ESPN, I guess, has options on the table come fall of 2014 when it's kind of running out of its soccer properties. But the problem I have with this, and you'll see it anywhere you go, if you've watched ESPN, if you follow any other sports, if ESPN doesn't have the rights to it, they don't care about it.
Exactly.
And that's been the biggest deal for me is... Them just having that one game on Saturday mornings
was enough to draw interest.
It was enough for them to put highlights on SportsCenter.
Mm-hmm.
It was enough for them to start airing ESPN Press Pass
right
at 2:30 in the morning, again on ESPN News, another great location.
Right.
It was enough for them to actually start investing in actually covering the sports.
Right.
I mean, remember when they had... they had that advertisement, the Manchester advertisement.
Oh, absolutely.
That was great.
That was a great
awesome
advertisement.
You're not going to see any of that anymore. A, because they don't air the games, but B, you're not going to see that level of care.
Right.
I mean, if you're an NHL fan, you know all too well what happened.
What happened to that league.
Right. When ESPN doesn't own the rights, they don't care.
Well, they don't care to pay to broadcast other people's properties.
Right.
You know?
And they're not going to sit there and advertise for you either. They're
right.
Not going to talk about a game that they're not airing.
Well, it's a legitimate concern.
So that's my big concern. And they're going to – I guess we're going to get – and this kind of goes back to Fox Soccer a little bit. There'll be Fox Soccer Daily is a show on Fox Sports 1, I guess,
yeah.
For now.
For now.
They decide to move it.
But you know all that is a dressed-up Fox Sports News.
It probably would be the same people. I haven't read the press release.
I think it is. I think it is the same.
I would imagine. I mean, you're not going to fire all those people and just hire...
Who knows what Fox is up to these days.
They might actually do exactly that. They might just fire everybody and hire newbies.
Yeah.
Get some newbies in there that can mispronounce some names.
Hey, Fox, we're looking for jobs.
We are.
Yeah, so if you need people, but
We'd have to dress up.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of podcasts.
Yeah, that's right.
You can just.
You guys don't even know what I'm wearing right now. You don't want to.
I don't want to.
Yeah.
And yet, you're right here in front of me.
Yeah, don't look.
I'm well aware.
Anyway.
And then we'll have ESPN FC.
Yeah.
Which is airing time to be named later. I don't know.
Is it weekly? Is it nightly? No one really knows.
I think it's like Monday through Friday.
Except for during, you know, holidays.
Holidays.
Yeah.
Or if there's the Australian Open. And then like Sundays it's airing at 10. I don't know.
It just doesn't seem like they're already paying it the attention that we would all hope they would. And they've shown us that they can do in the past.
But then the other fear, and we were trying to talk about this before we started here. They have ESPN FC and their site, and now they have their own little show that's going to start, I think, this week or next week. They now have the ability to just take the EPL and shove it off to the side, off to its own little show, its own little website, and just not worry about it during SportsCenter, during all their other garbage programs that they run.
Well, it's up to us to help make that happen some too. You know, keep flooding that site with traffic. You know, keep telling them that there's a market
there
for
it.
And obviously that plays a huge part, but you're absolutely right. There's a lot of it that's out of our
hands. It gives them the ability to bury it.
Yes.
Which is the other fear.
Well,
so again, I don't know. We'll see.
We'll see.
This is going to play out this year. I mean, I think it's going to be... Yeah, well, one of the things I heard somebody say is that, you know, the best part of soccer is it's all about the narratives.
Right.
That's going to be one of the narratives here in the States that's going to play out.
Absolutely.
How does NBC work out? Arlo White, does he work well with whoever he's paired with? Does the live extra thing glitch all the time?
Any of the things that could potentially go wrong.
Will their studio show afterwards be garbage?
Exactly. Now, what type of announcers are we really going to be looking at? I mean, the whole situation.
I've already heard a few people say that they're in their marketing, they're pandering to a new audience, to the, you know, uninformed.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they kind of have to. Sadly, there's not enough of us.
Yeah. That's a really good point.
Yeah, we can spend all this money and these guys are going to watch it.
But let's hope they don't treat it like Fox did at times.
And that's the thing. Like, okay, that's one way. You can go ahead and market it to new audience. But once the game starts, once the product is actually there, don't water it down. Don't dumb it down.
Well, remember a couple of years ago, Fox brought in, I think it was when they first had the Champions League final on regular Fox. I can't remember who the NFL player was that they brought in, but they brought him in to do a segment before the Champions League final to compare football to football from Europe.
Oh!
Yeah.
Because they have, like, the same name.
Yeah, they have the same name. Did you know they have the same number of players on the field?
Ooh,
yeah.
Mind blow.
Yeah, I know. It's really crazy. Did you also know that the balls are different shapes? That's really where things get crazy.
See, that's where you kind of, that's where things really come off the tracks.
I don't want to be talked to like that anymore.
No.
And I understand that we need to help bring people up to speed. But at the same time, NBC, don't treat me like an idiot. Because you have plenty of educated fans that know what they're talking about and know what they want to hear and what they want to see. And it's a delicate balance.
It is, because you still have to cater to the new fan that's kind of trying to figure it out. And you want them to figure it out because you want them to stay.
Yeah.
So you're kind of growing new fans by, you kind of have to water it down. You kind of go, this is this, this is that. This is pronounced this way, which ESPN sometimes didn't get around. They kept talking about the Manchester Derby.
Yes.
Along
with the Tottenham Spurs.
Do you die inside when that happens?
It's worse when I see people refer to them as the Spurs, like the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah.
That really chaps me a bit. But I don't get as bent out of shape as some people like to. But you know how
so
it
you're
is.
So you're okay with it.
I'm okay with it. Hey,
I am calloused enough.
Hey, when Gus Johnson yells at you enough where you just can't even feel the bleeding in your brain
Johnson
anymore.
Gus Johnson calloused you on a lot of things.
So.
It was that part of the dumbing down too, bringing in Gus Johnson?
Yes, absolutely.
What about, do you remember this now? Remember when they brought in Vinnie Jones?
Yes.
As one of their panel guys?
Yeah. Well, he's doing... Oh, no, that was actually on Fox Soccer. He's still doing, like, the show.
He still does stuff?
He does stuff for them on occasion where they have that that Fox Soccer in-depth show where they like interview players and celebrities and they talk about.
Because it's like, okay, yeah, sure, he played for a lot of clubs and he had a big long career, but they're not bringing him on for that.
No,
they bring him on because he's Vinny Jones, movie star.
And he looks at you with that, you know, menacing brow, and he's like, "You should be watching football, or I'm going to put a fist in your face."
See, those are the advertisements that NBC thankfully avoided.
Yes. I'm glad they mocked us. For once. Make us look like we don't know what we're talking about. And it was a good way of playing. It made me, as an educated fan, you know, laugh about it. And it's going to make plenty of people send it on my Facebook wall and say, "Hey, this is funny. Soccer funny stuff."
And that was always NBC's goal.
Yeah.
To flood your Facebook wall.
Yes. So
mission accomplished.
They can't see it right now, but I'm shaking a fist at them. So, well, next up on the docket, now that we've talked about NBC for a while, we wanted to talk a little bit about the transfer window. What are your thoughts about this transfer window so far?
Well, I think we've seen two things.
Right.
We've seen a lot of, I mean, I guess your typical, the big names, and then the big names never move.
Right.
Or at least they haven't yet. I mean, the three big names in the Premier League to move out or move within. Was,
all still sitting still.
Yeah, Bale, Suarez, Rooney. Pretty much all where they were at the beginning of this.
Right. Now, will all three of them still be in that position in 2 weeks' time?
Tough to say. I think the big story that's so far come out of the transfer window is what's happened with the other big names we've heard. The Cavani, the Falcao, the... you name it. I mean, Lewandowski, in a way, had his chances.
Yep.
All these big-name guys that were going to come get the big money at United, going to come get the big money at City, at Chelsea. Even Arsenal pretended to spend money for a second there.
Yeah, that's funny.
They all said, essentially, nah, I'm going to go here. There was almost a universal rebuking.
Of the Premier League.
Yeah, there was. I mean, all the big names that had pretty much their pick of clubs to go to.
Right.
All picked somewhere else.
Well, and I wonder a little bit, do you think it's the Premier League that's really turning people away, or is it the money that's being offered by the teams outside of the Premier League that are convincing players to go elsewhere?
I think it's both. I think that because nowadays, the mystique about playing in the EPL isn't there anymore, so they'll just go wherever the best money is.
That's true. I do think that... this brings up a really important point, and that point is that financial fair play does not seem to exist.
I can't point at a single thing where I go, boom, that's fair play in action right there, folks.
And it's a little hypocritical as an EPL fan sitting here and saying that. I mean, obviously, we've been sitting at the top of the pile for a long time now, and we've taken advantage of that fact as we've raped and pillaged smaller leagues, quote unquote.
But see, then shouldn't that have been... we should have seen the most, because instead of being able to do that, oh, no, we can't spend.
Well,
have you heard any of that this year?
I mean, yes. That's how it is for a Tottenham fan always.
Well, right.
But at the same time...
Have you heard United go, well, we got to look at our finances.
Well, but they also seem a little bit wary of actually spending the little bit of extra money that it would take to unearth someone. I mean, look.
Well, I think David Moyes doesn't know how a checkbook works because he hasn't been able to use one.
It's true. What is this thing you've handed me?
So you just go and just give them any kind of number?
I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things where players are getting that crazy money from a PSG or a Monaco.
Sure.
And their club, while the player has some say in it, the club who's actually doing the selling is going to wait out for the biggest number that comes their way. So when, you know, we hear that Chelsea are going to make, what, a £40 million bid on Cavani. Well, Napoli's not going to sit and take £40 million when they can take £60 million from PSG. So it's one of those situations where the players are just going to go wherever the club sells them to. But at the same time, they have to agree to personal terms, and they can actually nix the deal in the process itself. So they've had an opportunity to say, and I do think it is a little bit that the Premier League's losing its lore.
I think that's the big thing. I think that it's the mystique of putting on a Liverpool kit, putting on a United kit, is not there anymore. I just don't think – I mean, I think it's – and you see this in all sports. I mean, you see this definitely in college football and all this stuff, that kids now, they don't – the younger guys don't care about the tradition.
Right.
Everyone freaked out here, you know, when there was that Ohio State scandal. And guys sold away their golden pants that they won for beating Michigan. They sold them away for tattoos. Those are so important. Well, not to them.
Yeah.
That thing meant nothing to those kids.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like out of here. You know, oh, they get to wear the mighty Manchester United kit. Man, it doesn't really mean much, though. Not if this guy's going to give them that kind of money.
Yeah. Well, and that's why you're seeing big-name players leave the Premier League, too. I mean, we're seeing people like Carlos Tevez, who...
Whether
or not you like him or not, he's a big-name player, and he left.
Suarez at one point said he wanted to leave. Now he's... Arsenal showed up.
Yeah, exactly.
And then that now is his dream destination.
As long as Bale doesn't say he wants to leave, right? Well, at least that's how I feel.
Well, there is that.
Yeah. So while we're talking about all of these, you know, big name transfers, let's talk about a few of these. So Neymar, that's kind of got to be the biggest one that's happened so far this summer, right?
I would say like yes and no. Like it was supposed to be, but it doesn't feel like it has been.
I feel the exact same way. So I'm glad to hear
that. Like he was like the guy. Like we saw the Olympics. We got to see him in the Confederation Cup. Like we've been able to see this guy scantly for past couple years. And he was the next big thing. He was the next Messi. He was going to be, you know, whatever club he landed on, they were instantly going to become, you know, top of the pile in Europe.
Right.
Instead, he goes to a club that's kind of already on the top of the pile in
a lot
of ways.
Well, and you knew he was going to go to one of the big guys. I mean, they're the only ones that can afford him. He outright said he didn't want to go to England, so you knew he's going to look.
Right.
It's going to be Germany for Pep at Bayern. It's going to be one of the two big guys in Spain. And then let's not even talk about it being Italy. But at the same time, you knew he was going to go to a big club. You know, Barcelona probably makes the most sense for him with
his
style of play.
But it's another thing where it's like you wanted him to go somewhere where he was going to be the guy.
Right.
He's not the guy at Barcelona.
Right.
He's not even really the second guy.
Well, and maybe that's good for him, too. Maybe he knew well enough that he couldn't make that jump across the pond, and he wasn't as big of a fish as he thought he was. And I think it was a little smart on his part to put himself in a position to at least default for a while. And whether Barcelona ever tire of Messi, which seems entirely unlikely.
I don't see that happening.
But eventually Neymar could use this as a stepping stone. And whether that's to a team where he dominates or whether he goes somewhere else to be another, you know, big domino, who knows? But at the same time, I think this was a smart move for him because it's a team that he could actually fit into without all of the focus being on his back.
Sure. No, that makes sense.
But here's what really makes me mad about the Neymar thing. It is his fault that Madrid are busy sniffing about my Gareth Bale.
Oh, so this is what it really comes down
to
for you. Wow, that makes sense.
Yeah. It always comes back
to
Tottenham.
At the end of the day.
At the end of the day, I'm always going to circle it back around to Tottenham. No. Why I think that's going to happen. Madrid are not about to sit around and allow Barcelona to make this humongous signing, the signing of the summer, if you will. They have to do something to prove to their fans, hey, we're still competitive. Now, let's be honest. Their roster, it's not really that uncompetitive. But they do need something to say, hey, we are still striving towards that. And that's why I think they're trying to make this ludicrous Gareth Bale 100 million pound signing. Jeez, 100 pound. So that's why we're trying to see that or why we're seeing that happen. And I worry a little bit that Madrid will drop all that coin just to show up Barcelona. Whether or not Gareth Bale makes sense for them, who knows? Now, that could also bleed into Luis Suarez. And I am a little bit of the mindset that maybe Madrid are focusing all this attention on Bale, and then at the last minute, right when everyone thinks that Suarez isn't going anywhere, boom, smokescreen lifted, and they're actually going to make a late bid for him. But that's also the optimistic side of me, hoping that it's not going to be Bale.
That's just what you've dreamed of.
That's what I'm dreaming.
Three big names we mentioned that are still out there. Rooney, no clue what's going on with him. I mean, he's got the phantom injuries now that are keeping him out. So
he may go.
You want to say, it's leaning towards him leaving because he's not even in the squad right now.
Right.
Yet he's in the England squad. Did you see that? He was selected for England.
Yeah.
But not for today at the Community Shield. Wasn't there.
Wasn't even there.
I do kind of hate the fact that beginning of the transfer window, Chelsea's talking Cavani. They're talking maybe even Lewandowski, you know, trying to get all these big names. And now, like, we're at the point where I am begging them desperately to go get
Wayne Rooney.
The ghost of Wayne Rooney.
Yes.
Go get those tired bones from Manchester and bring them down here.
Well, and it's the same thing of, like, the Suarez saga. How would you feel as an Arsenal fan trying to sign Luis Suarez?
I've actually, me and my buddy Dave, we've talked about this a lot. Like, he hates Suarez. Like, thinks he's a miserable human being.
Right.
Doesn't want anything to do with him. But now it's like, that's really our only option. So I'm kind of just going to have to hope that this happens. This guy I don't want anywhere near my team.
Right.
Because he's you know, as they say, a clubhouse cancer.
Yeah.
He's a cannibal. We found that out.
Yep.
Which was interesting.
Watch your babies around him.
Watch your babies. He does have those shark teeth. His teeth are very jagged.
Yes.
This guy who's apparently also a racist. Potential anti-Semite? I mean, not a good dude.
All these things add up, and it's one of those things where do you want to make that type of a move, and do you want to see that type of player?
This is a
club?
Selling your soul situation here. I mean, Arsenal fans, and my buddy Dave has kind of pointed, was like, I don't want this guy on my team, but if that's our only option for, like, a big signing, then I guess that's what we're going to have to go with, and I'm going to have to sit here and root for this guy.
I just wouldn't want to have to make excuses for him. And that's what I always, you know, one of my best friends, massive Liverpool fan, and he always says to me, you know, you're just slagging off Suarez because you don't like how much he cares for our team. And it's like, listen to yourself. I mean, he's a battler, but do you want a guy who's willing to bite human beings on the field, you know, to be the guy you're leaning on? You can't. And
the guy that said whatever he said to
exactly. Evra? So it's funny watching Arsenal fans, probably the same people who were giving him all loads of crap on Twitter and all the other social media sites out there 3 months ago, are now the ones making excuses for him.
Indeed.
And I wouldn't want to be in that position.
Like, deep down, those Liverpool fans are going to feel a great sense of relief
when
they don't have
they
to
feel
make
dirty.
Excuses for this guy anymore.
They feel dirty rooting for him right now.
He can be someone else's problem.
You hear that, Nick. You feel dirty.
Let the Gooners take the blame for that guy.
I will love watching the Gooners take him. No, I won't. I don't want him to go there at all.
I don't want him to go anywhere in England because he's so, like most good players, very good against Chelsea.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, will any of them move? That remains to be seen.
If you were to put money on one of them moving, only one of them, who has the best chance of moving of those three?
Gareth Bale. Did I say it soft enough that no one
heard
it? I'm
surprised your come on Spurs shirt didn't just light on fire.
It's going to probably, but
that's your guy, huh?
He is my guy. I just think that Madrid will need that signing more than we don't. Madrid will need that signing more than we don't need that money. That didn't make any sense.
I don't even know what you just said.
I don't either. But
why would you not need the money?
I'm worried about it. It's one of those situations where I'm concerned about him sticking around. So I think, you know, while we're talking about transfers, there is one that's been kind of big.
We haven't even talked about it yet. The blockbuster move of the century.
Clint Dempsey to MLS. Clint Dempsey back in the United States. So as a Spurs fan, obviously, I have a little bit of an opinion about this. He spent a little bit of time at White Hart Lane.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually kind of glad to see him go from that perspective. I'm not going
to
lie.
I'm also glad to see him go.
Why is that?
Because I hated rooting against him. I cheer on the U.S. men's national team as hard as I cheer on Chelsea. And to then, you know, midweek, you know, 1 week be cheering for Dempsey and the next week hoping that he just, you know, can't hit water falling out of a boat when he's playing against Chelsea. It was hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I've talked to a lot of guys in that way that they like Arsenal or they like United or whoever, and they hate when
you have to play against a U.S. national team player.
Like, I always feel bad when we beat Everton and like Tim Howard's just being just routed.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things where, hey, Dempsey did a job for us at Spurs.
Did he do much of a job, though?
He had some humongous goals for us. There's no arguing
that
point.
What, United?
He scored two times against United.
Beautiful.
In both the home and away. The winner at Old Trafford and the tying goal when we played at White Hart Lane. So, you know, I'll be sad to see him go for that reason. But let's be honest. He was nothing more than a stopgap for Spurs.
Yeah.
And when the Moutinho deal fell through last summer on deadline day, we swooped in and bought Dempsey because Liverpool were being cheap. And it never seemed like a signing that was long-term meant for us.
It never seemed like a great fit either.
He never really found his feet at Spurs.
No.
He did seem to have the confidence of the manager at times. But at the same time, he did a job for us, I think, and he's I'm happy that we had him for a while, but I'm also happy to see him go.
I was debating with some guys on Twitter about this, that I think this is like this is more than just kind of a big move for MLS. Like this is a really big deal for them to be able to get Clint Dempsey to come back.
In his prime.
Regardless of the and that was the big fight that we had. He's not in his prime, he's 30. I was like, what are you? He's 15 months ago. He finished fourth in the Player of the Year awards. Like,
right.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, and it's not just because he has one down year.
He had one down year where he wasn't even a regular
starter. Yeah, absolutely. So he is absolutely in his prime. It is definitely something where any fan that thinks that him coming back to this league isn't a good thing for this league is out of their mind.
Oh, it's just fighting idiots. For like a whole day. That whole Saturday. I was just fighting idiots.
Well, that's most days on Twitter, isn't it? But at the same time.
I hate Twitter sometimes. Just fighting morons.
But at the same time, you're absolutely right. It is a massive thing for MLS to get back the best U.S. player in their prime coming back and playing in this league. There are no words to explain how important that is.
Because this is what I tried to explain. This is not a guy looking to add a few more years to his career that's in the twilight.
Right.
This is not what Beckham. People are like, whoa, him and Beckham, the ages weren't that different. Yeah. Beckham was also like a pro when he was, 17? Like,
right.
The tread was not on the tire on that one when he came to MLS. Like, he was definitely going for some on the job retirement.
Right.
Same
exactly.
Thing with Thierry Henry. You can say that that's happening there. This is the first international star who has had success abroad to come into the MLS. Even though it's coming back, he's still transferring into the MLS
right.
During prime years.
Absolutely. And here's the other angle to it. I know a lot of people are sitting here saying, oh, it's right before a World Cup year, and we really would have preferred to have had Dempsey stay in Europe and challenge himself
more. I did wonder that a little bit, because I know that was Klinsmann's whole thing about go out and play abroad.
And I think there's an argument for that. But one, MLS is nowhere near as bad as everyone gives it credit for.
No.
And two, this is absolutely still a sporting challenge for Clint Dempsey. You know, it's not like he's going to L.A., where they're sitting at the top of the pile, and, well, they're not sitting at the top of the pile right now, but normally sitting near the top of the pile and winning MLS championships. No, he's going to Seattle, who are currently fighting for their lives in the playoff race right now. And, you know, if it weren't for that fact, you could sit here and say, well, Clint Dempsey's just collecting a paycheck. He's not. He's going somewhere where he's going to make a difference to the squad.
Yeah.
And he's going somewhere where, yeah, he's the highest paid player, but he's going to be able to make them potentially a playoff team and take them deep into the playoffs.
And it's a big name playing in his prime. And I think the other cool thing about it is, in a way, and not like it was built this way, but in a way, this is Seattle being rewarded for the fact that they are turning into like a soccer capital here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like the fact that they're able to pack an NFL stadium is awesome.
Absolutely.
And I think this is almost like them being the MLS kind of rewarding them for like, hey, you've been one of the most loyal fan bases in the league. You are the most passionate group. You pack the stadium. Your attendance beats, I believe, currently average attendance beats 5 Major League Baseball teams.
Yep.
Here's your gift.
Absolutely.
And it obviously wasn't built that way. You know, it's still, I mean, the MLS paid the fee, but obviously Seattle still had to pony up the cash to actually bring them there and have them, you know, have a contract there. But I felt like it was good for Seattle.
Right.
That's a fan base that will appreciate
what he can do on the field. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Now, should MLS be rewarding them so much to the point where they could potentially be breaking their own rules?
And this is, I guess this is where we get into the whole thing of the allocation list.
Mm-hmm.
Rival Portland was at the top of that.
Right.
So technically, and this is one of the problems the MLS has, their rules as far as transfers, as far as paying players, all this stuff is so convoluted. No one really knows what the actual rules are. Apparently, people within the league don't really know what the rules are because there's people at other teams that are kind of scratching their head at this one.
Yep. So I think there is a reason why MLS does this. This isn't the first time they've done it.
No.
The last time they did it was the Beckham rule.
Right.
The Beckham rule was, of course, introduced to get David Beckham. And it obviously reaped rewards. And the league has maintained this single entity pay structure. And this is one of the kind of restrictions that is placed on other leagues that don't have this, is that they have the ability to change the rules when it suits the best needs of the league.
Right.
And right now, I think Clint Dempsey's arrival and staying in this league is absolutely the best thing that could happen for this league. And if they can change the rules to make something like that happen, then they're going to do it. Yeah, Portland feel like they got shafted, but could Portland really pay for Clint Dempsey's salary?
Something tells me that's not likely.
I don't think they could, and it's because they're not able to fill up a stadium with 60,000 people or 50,000 people or 38,000 people. Their stadium doesn't hold that many people, and Seattle's large stadium and their large fan base enables them to be able to float a player of Clint Dempsey's stature. Yeah, I hear you, Portland fans. It is a little disappointing to not be able to get it. Yeah, it does suck, but Clint Dempsey's arrival is going in the long term, most likely, to help raise the profile of the league. And really where this becomes important is looking at the collective bargaining agreement. So MLS, they have their collective bargaining agreement. Mm-hmm. They've, in the last few times around, have always come out and said, oh, the owners, they come out and cry. We can't afford more, you know, higher salaries. We can't raise the salary cap because look at our TV ratings. They're abysmal. And that's a reason why I have my concerns about those kind of things. But that said, you guys can absolutely afford this. MLS paid $9 million to get Clint Dempsey over here in the first place. If you guys can pay $9 million for that, why are there still guys on our team that are making $30,000 a year? And I think this is a really big moment for not only us as fans and seeing the league grow and all those things, but this is a huge moment for the players to finally start earning a respectable wage. I'm going to go off on a small tangent here. There is a player, Clint Irwin, that currently plays for Colorado Rapids. He is a rookie goalkeeper. I actually know the guy. Did an interview for him on the blog a little while back. Clint wrote a fantastic piece out on the web. I'll have to put it in my most recent links post.
I saw a couple of people linking to that.
It is
last
a
week.
Fantastic look at what a lower league player has to do to get
like
into MLS. And he's making $35,000 a year right now, and he's relieved. And that's an awful thing to say. This guy's one of the hottest goalkeepers in MLS right now, and he's relieved to be making $35,000.
That's
so
good.
So Clint Dempsey's arrival means a lot for the players and potentially what that could do for them.
But there was another big MLS story that came out, a little more local to us here in Ohio.
Yeah, absolutely. New ownership in Columbus. This has been a long time coming.
Now, I was trying to gauge this. How long had it kind of, quote-unquote, the Columbus Crew been on the market?
So they've been looking for additional investors for a couple of years now. The Hunt Group, of course, has long owned the Crew. They also own FC Dallas, of course, as well. And they have said for a long time that they've been looking for local investors. Who the local investors were ever going to be was always speculation. People were always hoping for someone like maybe Scott's Fertilizer, which is based out of Northern Columbus. Maybe Honda come in and provide some sort of investment. Maybe some sort of just stadium naming deal would be enough to help boost some bigger player acquisitions. Whatever the case, we could never really find it.
Yeah, Barbasol.
Yeah, Barbasol, right?
People still use shaving cream? Or
I think they do.
Is that still happening?
I'm just happy the Barbasol is still around for the wonderful trucker commercial that was often played at halftime 2 to 3 times during Crew games. So anyway, they've long been looking for this. I would say they've probably been looking for about 2 years. Commissioner Garber, when they had a press conference in Columbus at the beginning of the season, somehow let it slip just a little bit that they were actually looking for a full investor. And the Hunt Group was very quick to swat it down. And then we didn't hear much about it for a while.
Kind of got under the rug.
Kind of under the rug, and we all just went, well, we're stuck with the Hunts again for a while, and that's where we are. Well, then out of left field, we get an announcement. What was that, the day before the All-Star game?
It was like Tuesday.
And we get an announcement that not only have they found an investor, but it's a total buyout of the Hunt Group, and it's of some guy we've never even heard of.
Never heard of the guy.
Anthony Precourt.
Really not a guy. After doing some research, not a whole lot of internet presence.
No.
Mr. Precourt. Like, I tried to kind of figure out who this guy was.
He had a Twitter feed. He opened like 2 days before.
Yeah.
And he tweeted right before the press conference.
Yeah, a Twitter feed that was clearly for the sole purpose of the announcement, and then, you know, he'll probably keep it now as the owner.
He made a little tweet that had a picture of Crew Stadium and said, our new home now. And we're speculation immediately went nuts. And all the, you know, the Twitter traffic about it was like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
And then everyone was Googling, and you still can't turn anything up. Well, it turns out he has... his dad works in the energy sector. He's long worked in the energy sector as well. Is really big in investments as well. Seems to have a good deal of money, and maybe,
that's always helpful.
Yeah, you know, he's not an oil baron. You know, he's not a Man City or maybe, you know, an Abramovich that's coming in that's going to give you a lot of money. But at the same time, he does seem to have some sort of intention to invest in the team, and more importantly, not move it.
Which was a big one.
Yeah,
I watched a bit of the press conference when my internet wasn't screwing up here at the studios.
Right.
Even the mayor kind of just
flat out asked
put
him.
Put it to him right there.
Are you going to move this team? I have no intention to move this team. So it's really good news for the Crew. We've long needed it. But what happens now? So clearly they are an abject team on the field, and let's ignore last night's 2-0 victory over the Red Bulls.
Though.
It was fun.
It was cool.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
But at the same time, this team...
It was an aberration.
Yeah. They need a fresh look, and I don't think it's going to happen before the end of the season. Everyone can wave their pink slips at Warzeka for the rest of the season all they want. He's going to be there for the end of the year. They're going to run out his contract, and then we'll look for something new in the year. But he also said that there were going to be some other changes. Things not only, you know, on the field, but also in the front office, potentially a rebrand. You know, what does all this mean for Columbus? We don't quite know yet.
So a lot of speculation what's going to happen. The big debate, though, he said he's not going to move the team. So I guess that's the first worry out of the way. Now it's like, okay, let's kind of get to the nuts and bolts of things. What are we going to do with the on-field? Which he's kind of, I guess he's already kind of made some statements about that upgrades need to be made.
Yep.
Both on and off the field.
Yeah. So, I mean, where this goes, you know, hopefully they don't do a total rebrand of the team. I think the Crew have a kind of a unique brand in MLS. I love the yellow, all yellow kits.
Sure.
It's very unique for American sports. There aren't many all yellow teams out there.
No.
You know, you think of the Lakers.
Yeah, Lakers, Oregon Ducks, but they have like 100 uniforms.
Yeah, so that doesn't really count. So I think there is a niche there that they can build upon. Maybe there's some refreshing we can do. Maybe that logo needs a refresh. But really, I think the changes are going to come in the way that he interacts with the community. And he's already done a good job of reaching out to the supporters and going to their bars. And he stood with them in the Nordeca the last game. So
did he pronounce it wrong again?
He didn't. Okay. It was not Nordeca this time around. And everyone cringed a little bit. But
yeah.
He seems...
You knew that moment was going to happen.
Like, absolutely.
I was like counting down. Okay, he's going to say... He's going to mispronounce that. There we go. There it is.
But those are the learning curve that you're going to have when you buy an MLS team and you don't know anything about soccer.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you're going to mispronounce something. Coach's name.
Yep.
Where the fans sit.
If they bring in GBS next season, you know, I'm sure he'll butcher that name as well.
Yeah.
So.
As a big supporter of the Crew,
mm-hmm.
Do you have like a wish list of what you want? Like, okay. Apparently, everyone wants a new manager.
Right.
I think that's top of the pile for everyone.
Yeah,
top of the pile for most people. Stadium upgrades? Because stadium upgrades were kind of already promised before he got here.
Right. So I think that's definitely something that needs a look over, whether or not it's a upgrade to the existing structure at Crew Stadium,
right.
Which I think is doable, or whether it's building a brand new stadium, you know, closer to downtown. You know, that remains the biggest question
that needs to be sorted out for him.
So I think hands down the biggest issue with getting people out to the Crew games is location. And I have no issue with where the stadium sits, but there's nothing to do around the stadium. You walk to the parking lot or you park in the parking lot and you walk into the stadium and that's about all there is.
Well, we see how key that is. I mean, here in Cincinnati for years, where the Reds and Bengals played, there was nothing there downtown.
Right.
You had to walk from 5th Street where you parked all the way down to the river where the stadium was, and then there's nothing between those two.
Right.
And now there's a lot of stuff, and they attributed that to why they're getting the All-Star game. And that's what people want. People want something to do. They want to be able to go eat afterwards, hit up a bar beforehand, hit up a bar afterwards. And the big thing in the MLS and in soccer is to, you know, have the march to the stadium.
Right.
You can't have that there.
No.
You can't do the what are you marching from Lowe's?
Yeah. I mean, that's kinda, the problem.
And you could march from Lowe's, I guess.
Yeah, you could. It would be a little weird.
I don't know if I'd tell anybody I'm doing that. But.
Yeah. I mean, hey, let's get our lumber and then we'll march into the Crew game. I mean, it's one of those things where I think it needs to be looked at, and whether it's developing the area around it, maybe Precourt goes out and buys that Lowe's and redevelops that into a smaller bar district. You know, those kind of things can maybe be done to help improve the current digs.
And look, we've already seen this happen in Columbus. You see where the arena district is. I mean, it's the arena district. The arena was built there, and then they built all these areas for bars and for, nice loft apartments and all that stuff.
So maybe they can do something like that. You know, if it does take moving the team closer to downtown, putting them closer to the arena district, or maybe short north, something where the team can get more of that foot traffic, I think that would be beneficial. But obviously, you know, people smarter than myself are going to need to look at that equation, decide, you know, what numbers make the most sense, whether it's going to, you know, we look at that stadium deal that was just approved for DC, and it's going to cost $300 million to build that stadium.
That's a lot. That doesn't sound like money that exists just easily.
Yeah, exactly.
In the city of Columbus.
So, you know, what direction they go, I don't know, but I think that's probably going to be the first thing and the biggest thing that needs to be addressed within the Crew's ownership.
So, manager.
Yep.
Stadium.
Yep. That's what I think.
Anything else?
Yeah.
Do you want like a Tim Hortons there at the stadium?
I would like some better food in the stadium, but I'm not really going to be too picky there. So we'll see. I think there are good times ahead for the Crew.
So it's exciting. It's a new era. A new, you know, the page is turning.
So the last segment we're going to cover today is for the Wrong Side of the Pond Pub Atlas. So if you've ever been to wrongsideofthepond.com, and I'm going to hawk the crap out of that website to you guys.
That'd probably be a good move.
Yeah, probably so. I have a pub atlas, and it is a little unique for pub atlases in that it is crowdsourced. And I decided to start one up a couple of years ago because I wanted to get really pertinent information for the soccer fan. First and foremost, do they actually show soccer?
Do you have the ability to show – do you have Fox – well, I guess you have NBC Sports Network.
You have NBC Sports now. Yeah, now that we don't need Fox Soccer necessarily
because
we're watching Champions League.
I remember me and my buddy, we were actually at another friend of ours' bachelor party.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same night as Gold Cup – trying to get this right – Gold Cup USA-Mexico.
Right.
And we're trying to figure out, okay – we need to make sure, like, when the game's on, that we're, like, whatever bar we're at, we need to make sure it has it. And we went to a bar that we figured, oh, sure, that's a huge place. They got to have it. Didn't have Fox Soccer. Couldn't watch it.
Right.
We watched it on his phone.
Yeah.
Best bachelor party event ever.
I bet.
Five guys sweating and circling around the phone, just
exactly.
Drinking heavily.
Yeah, so finding a bar that obviously has soccer is important. But also, will they be open at the hours where the soccer game's actually being shown?
That is key.
Yeah. So,
because some guys will have, like, you know, your B-dubs or whatever. They'll have Fox. They'll turn it on if you want to, but they're also not open at 8 a.m.
Exactly. So finding a bar like that, you know, also, you know, what beers do they have on tap? That's an important question for someone like me.
Very, very important.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, what supporters groups meet there, all those kind of things. You know, you want to be able to really know where you're going. So I had this idea that I'm going to reach out to the internet and say, hey, tell me about your soccer bars all across the country. Got responses back. And now we have 260 plus bars in this directory.
Nice.
Around both U.S. and Canada. Don't want to leave them out. Where you can go and watch a game. Many of which will be at early hours. Some of them won't be. But at the same time, it gives you an idea where you can actually go. So I wanted to take an opportunity to actually highlight one of these bars every time we get together to talk. Sound like an idea?
That sounds like a great idea.
And I'm going to start in our hometown of Cincinnati. In Cincinnati, we have a newish bar called Rhine House. And it's in the Over the Rhine District. So do you know much about OTR?
I know of some of the spots there. I don't get out there a whole lot because I have wife and kids. And
yeah, that'll do it to you.
They frown upon, you know, bringing children into bars.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, they...
So Over the Rhine's an older district just north of downtown Cincinnati. It's an old German immigrant area where it lends its name from. But the reason why we're talking about Over the Rhine is they have a brand new place called Rhine House down there.
Okay.
And Rhine House used to be a bar called Rhino's, used to be a dump. And this place has been cleaned up, and Rhine House is a fantastic sports bar. It's the only sports bar in OTR, for that matter. So not only that, these guys happen to be big soccer fans. And they have, and they are willing to open up for the earliest of the Premier League games, which
so not, it's not like 7:45.
Absolutely,
you're there.
They are going to
pint
be open
in hand.
Yeah. So Rheinhaus is located. I think I've got it written down here. They are, I think, on 12th Street. Right in between Vine and Main. Fantastic okay. location, so it's really centrally located within OTR. They have 16 handles on tap. They rotate through all the time, lots of local beers, plus some of your traditionals. And they also are, of course, probably going to be the best bar to go and watch as a Spurs fan in town. So I don't know about Chelsea, but they do a great job. I've actually done a few events with them where I've co-hosted some watch parties down there. And the reason why I bring that up is I actually will have my next watch party event with them on the opening day of the Premier League season.
Big kickoff,
Saturday.
The lid lifter.
Yeah. So there will be some prizes out there. We're going to do some door prizes, give away some glassware, sweet. Most likely, some T-shirts, those kind of things. So if you're down for watching some soccer, make sure you come out and join us as early as 7:45 in the morning this Saturday. Definitely check out Rheinhaus. And if you don't happen to live in Cincinnati, do be sure to go and check out the Wrong Side of the Pond Soccer Pub Atlas. It's out on the site, and you'll be able to find a soccer pub close to you.
Well, I guess that wraps it up.
I think that does wrap it up.
I don't know if we have any more. Possibly say.
I don't think so. I think we've talked plenty. So thank you very much, listeners, for listening in to the very first Wrong Side of the Pond podcast. Jeremy, it's been a pleasure.
It's been good. We'll be back next week. We'll try to get these up around Sunday, Monday.
Yeah, somewhere in that time frame. So
we'll have our first full slate of games to talk about.
We'll be busy. We'll keep it short. Or try to.
Feel these nipples.
Oh, it's getting that kind of podcast, folks.
All right, we're out.
All right, see ya.